You're listening to the Newsmakers podcast from MLB.com.
This is the Rocket, Bill Latson. Welcome to Newsmakers. We have Red Sox manager Alex Cora and former Major League reliever Billy Wagner on the show. We start with Cora, who believes the Red Sox will win the World Series in 2018. On the phone is Red Sox manager Alex Cora. Alex, thank you so much for being on the show.
No problem, man. Thank you for having me.
Alex, before we talk baseball, first of all, how's everybody in Puerto Rico?
It's getting better, man. It's getting better. I mean, not where we want to be, but people are working together. Honestly, it's a different attitude. No more excuses, regardless of what happens on a daily basis. Sometimes we don't have power, we don't have water, but you know, the people are fighting. They're working, and that's good to see.
And how's your family?
My family's good. My family's really good. Some of them, they have no power. Some of them, you know, they're struggling with the water and all that stuff. But we're helping each other. Something I learned over the course of the last 2 weeks, you know, sometimes you get caught up on your own business, you know, and you forget the people that live around you, you know, instead of saying that you have neighbors, it's like the guy right next door. Now we're back to having neighbors. You know, we have to have people around you that care, that help. And we're helping each other out, man. It's been, you know, it's not the perfect situation, but we learned a lot from this situation, and things are getting a lot better.
That's great to hear. Alex, going to baseball, first of all, how excited are you to be managing for the first time with a team that really has a great chance to win the division?
to win the World Series, we got to win the World Series.
Right.
I'm excited. I've been telling people that, you know, as a young guy, you know, in this part of my career, you dream of becoming, you know, a manager. That's a goal and all that, but you never think that you're gonna get a shot to manage a team that has a chance to win it all. You know, usually, you know, they give you a team that, you know, is in a rebuilding process, and it takes a few years to get to the point that you wanna get. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm managing the Boston Red Sox, and you know, I gotta thank, you know, ownership, the front office, and all the people here that trusted me. You know, and this is a good baseball team. This is a team that has won the division back-to-back years, and I got a chance to come here and put a really solid coaching staff that I feel, you know, is going to help us to take it to the next level. And we know we play in a city that, you know, winning divisions is not enough. You know, they won championships, and I know we're going to do everything possible to put this group of guys in a winning situation and winning spots, and we do that on a daily basis. We're going to win a lot of ball games, and you know, we're going to try to win a lot of games in October. That's the goal.
What do you like the most about your roster? You have some great hitters. You have some nice pitching. What do you like the most about it?
It is a very versatile roster. You know, from the position player standpoint, also the pitching staff. You see the names in the rotation, and it's impressive, but you know, we got guys in the bullpen that can do a lot of things. You know, they can give you multiple innings. They can come in certain situations and, you know, get you one out, you know, with a strikeout. As far as the position players, very athletic. And I come from a team that, you know, it was very athletic, you know, last year, you know, the Houston Astros.
And right.
That helps you out. You know, you can find ways of winning games on a daily basis, different ways. That's what I mean. You know, you can run the bases and win games. You can hit the ball out of the ballpark and win games, or, you know, you can do the little things and win games, and that's what we're going to try to do, you know, on a daily basis. The names are going to be familiar probably in the lineup, and obviously every 5 days is going to be, you know, hopefully everybody stays healthy and they go out and compete every day. But as far as, like, what we're going to do on the field, hey, we might do stuff differently on a daily basis, but at the end of the day, we want to win ball games, and we're going to do a good job doing it.
Have you talked to David Price and Hanley Ramirez? A lot of people think that they will flourish under your leadership.
Hey, I mean, I had conversations with them already. I haven't seen them, you know, personally, but you know, with David, I talked a few times, and looking forward to know him better, you know, and know him not only as a baseball player, but as a person, you know, learn about his family and what he's all about. You know, I heard great things about him. One thing we got going, you know, he went to Vanderbilt, and my brother did too. So, you know, at least I have a little bit of an idea about, you know, he's how smart he is, because Joey's a smart individual, you know. So I got that with Hanley. I play against him. I know him. You know, we've been staying in touch, you know, and looking forward to manage him. This guy, you know, when he's healthy, he still has a lot in his tank, you know, and looking forward for him to hit in the middle of the lineup and get back to be the on-base percentage machine that he was earlier in his career, and driving the ball too. You know, it's going to be fun to watch him.
What's the biggest thing you want the Red Sox to improve on? I know you haven't been on the field yet, but based on the stats that you've seen, what do you want to improve on?
Well, infield defense is going to be a topic, you know, the whole time. You know, we got to be better defensively in the infield. In the outfield, they were outstanding last year. But defensively, we have to be better. You know, that's going to help everybody out in the pitching staff, you know, instead of, you know, grinding out at bats, you know, and you know, long at bats and try to strike people out. You can pitch contact and get out early in the count. So we're going to try to do that. And also, base running wise, you know, we have to be better. Last year, stolen base wise, they were awesome, but you know, there were a lot of outs made running the bases, and we have to clear that up, especially here in Fenway. This is a place that, well, like everywhere else, you know, outs are very important, but here, you know, with the dimensions and the monster, you know, you can't just give outs away running the bases. You got to be smart about it. We're gonna start, you know, be more responsible doing that, and I know that's gonna help us out.
You helped the Astros win the World Series. You were their bench coach. And what do you take from Houston to Boston? What do you want to transfer from Houston to Boston in terms of winning?
One thing they did a good job of it. They enjoy the game. You know, they really. One thing I learned is, you know, to win a big league game, it takes a lot. You know, it's not that easy. And every time you win one, you have to enjoy it. You know, and we did an outstanding job doing that. And I gotta let the guys know, you know, hey, there's nothing wrong with showing emotion and celebrating and enjoying W's, because it's not that easy. It's not that easy just to come here and win games. So we're gonna appreciate every win, and we're gonna enjoy doing it.
Alex, final question. When did you know you wanted to become a manager? Because I can remember, as you know, I covered you in Washington, and you remember I said to you that you make a great manager. When did you know you wanted to become a manager?
Oh, man, I don't know. I tell you in March 29th. I don't know. It's a bless. You know, I'm blessed. You know, I'm in this situation. There's something about the job and have an impact on people that I always wanted to do, you know, and that's why it took me a while to coach at the big league level, because I wanted to have an opportunity to be in a position to be impactful. And last year, you know, the Houston Astros, Jeff Luhnow, Mr. Crane, and AJ Hinch gave me the opportunity, and now, you know, this group gave me the chance to impact one of the most, you know, one of the best organizations in the world, basically in sports. You know, so I'm happy I'm here. I'm thrilled. I'm excited and looking forward to have you know, to spend a lot of time here in Boston. You know, and win a few games.
It's going to be a great career too. Listen, Alex Carr.
Thank you.
Listen, thank you so much, and we hope to talk to you soon.
Okay, bro. Thank you. Take care.
You too now. Take care.
My final guest is former Major League reliever Billy Wagner. What a career he had. Yet, he's not even close to becoming a Baseball Hall of Famer.
My next guest, in my opinion, is a Hall of Famer. Listen to these stats. 2.31 ERA. 422 saves. 9 seasons of 30 saves or more. And he has more saves than Dennis Eckersley, Raleigh Fingers, Goose Gossage.
I'm talking about Billy Wagner. Billy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Billy, this is your third year on the Hall of Fame ballot, and last year you received just 10% of the vote. That's a joke. Why do you think that was?
Well, I really have no idea. I mean, I can't even speculate those things. I don't know what you do to get a higher percentage. I mean, I'm not a guy. I'm not going to go and call and self-promote. I mean, you know, it used to be stats, and those are the things that's how you were self-promoting. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you do. You know, I'm happy that I'm on the ballot. I mean, and also, I mean, of course, I am a little, you know, I guess frustrated that, you know, I probably don't get a little bit more of a bump. But, you know, I wasn't a media darling either. So, I mean, I wasn't politically correct. And there's a lot of things I'm sure that aren't going to go my way. I mean, John Heyman and those guys have voiced their opinions that I wasn't quite as good as Hoffman and, of course, Mariano and those guys. And, you know, and never won a World Series. You know, playoffs weren't very good. I don't have 1,000 innings. I mean, you go down. There's a lot of reasons to say that they're probably right. But there's also a lot of reasons to say that, you know, I had more strikeouts and I had more a lower ERA. And there's a lot of pros, too. So, you know, I really don't know, you know, Nightingale and Kirchin and all the guys that get to vote. I don't know what wins them. You know, I don't know what makes them want to vote one way or the other. So, I mean, I think the biggest thing is to make sure that Hoffman gets in. Right. I mean, I think that if there's any joke, that's the joke. I don't think you can expect a Billy Wagner to get in. I mean, you know, I think Lee Smith, those types of guys, and Trevor Hoffman, I mean, you can't get those type of numbers and create that type of, you know, legacy without being pretty daggone good. And so, I mean, I don't know what the hesitation is, because you can't get 605 saves without doing something right. And I know you can't go out there and get 422 if, you know, I know you can't get 500 if you don't get 500 chances also. So, you know, there's, you know, I don't know what's got to happen, but, you know, I figure one of two things is going to happen this year. I'm finally going to be off the ballot, or I'm going to get a jump. Or, you know, hopefully it's not going to be one of those things where you're pretty much out of it, but you're just treading water.
What was it about your game that you liked? If you looked at a stat that you had, what impressed you the most?
I think it's slugging percentage and I guess batting average against. I guess when you talk about dominance, when you go 16 years and you're the batting average against you is 187, I don't know what dominance means, but I mean, you know, somebody's taking a beating.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what that means. I mean, you know, I mean, there's, I think that is credible. I think that those are things that, you know, obviously are dictated by your good teammates. I think there's things that you can't control. I don't think you can control a save. I don't think you can control ERA. I think those things are, you know, not evident of how dominant you are, but batting average against, strikeouts, longevity. I think those are things that speak volume in the whole. You know, I don't think that, you know, when you're going out and punching, you're averaging, you know, 12, 13 strikeouts per nine innings. Somebody told me that was dominating. I mean, Nolan seemed to think that was dominating. And, so, I mean, those are things that, you know, when you're looking at the best, that's, you know, those are the consistency. I mean, those are the things, you know, Trevor and Mariano and those guys, they created that consistency of every day they walked out. They were probably going to get it done. So I think that is something for me that I look at.
Let me ask you this. You retired after 2010 season, and you still had a lot left in the tank.
Why'd you retire when you did? And not only were you dominating still, you were a mentor to those young Braves pitchers. Why'd you retire?
Well, I've got four kids. And my oldest kid was at a point where he was getting ready to go into high school or the middle school. And, you know, I'd had a great career. I just felt like for me as a father, I know that I came from a broken home where I wasn't around, where my father wasn't around and things. And it was an important part for me to be there for my kids and let them know that, you know, I was there for them. It was time for them to get all of me, not a third of me. Mm-hmm. And so if my career was important to me, but also my kids are more important to me. And if I get labeled, you know, if my career is labeled or I don't make the Hall of Fame because I left when I had more in the tank, then, you know, so be it. It was every bit worth to leave pro baseball and be a dad more than it was to go out there and get 500 saves and say, you know, I couldn't help my kid.
Right.
So that meant more to me. And so it was never a question what I wanted to do.
Wow. You know, right now you're helping kids right now at a high school. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, I'm probably doing the one thing that seems to make the most difference is I'm being around kids and helping to help them not make the same mistakes I made or improve themselves and have better work ethic or even probably just better health decisions and, you know, talk over situations with these guys that seem to make better situations for them.
You know, you talk about mistakes you made. What are you telling your kids about the mistakes you made? What mistakes did you make?
Well, better ways of just working out and taking care of my body when I'm at a younger age, not taking things for granted as much, and just enjoying the game. I think enjoying the game is the biggest part. I think it becomes such a job for these kids nowadays with recruiting and pro baseball and everything that, you know, a lot of times you forget to enjoy it because you're thinking about that next step where, you know, I enjoy teaching the game and teaching the nuances of it and the passion of going out there and competing and allowing these kids to make some mistakes, but, you know, not jumping to conclusions on them, because nowadays everything is so critical and specialized that I feel that these kids really struggle to make that jump or understand the game. And so I enjoy teaching the game and letting them make their mistakes and not calling every pitch and not letting them win the game, and instead of feeling like I've got to go out there and create my own reputation as a coach.
Yeah.
So I like that, and I like being around my kids that enjoy the game and, you know, and that are passionate about it. And I think there's a way to show passion for the game other than strictly at a high school level talking about wins and losses. I think what's important is the opportunity to teach these kids to be good young men and citizens, how to talk to people, have conversations and things like that, rather than have not being able to have a conversation and speak your mind because you're scared of not being right. And so I get a lot out of just being able to help these kids be good young men.
Right. And what's the name of the school?
Miller School of Albemarle.
Wow. That's in Virginia.
It is. It's right outside of Charlottesville.
Wow. That's amazing. Hey, you know, I'm going to mention some more stats. You have strikeouts per nine innings. It's 11.92.
Right.
More than Dennis Eckersley, more than Goose Gossage, Sutter, Bruce Sutter, Raleigh Fingers, Hoyt Wilhelm. I mean, when you hear that, what does that say?
Well, I had a very good team. I don't want to compare myself to those guys because those guys are so special. It was a different age of baseball, a different type of baseball. If you talk to Goose, I mean, me, Trevor, and guys were overrated because we only had to go out there once a mm-hmm. one inning.
You're right.
And listen, that's his opinion. I get it, but when you're getting up about 80 times to be ready, and you go out there, you know, it's different. So his brand of baseball, but you know, those guys were awesome. They were my heroes growing up. I love watching Eckersley. I love watching and hearing my grandpa talk about Raleigh and all those people. So I, you know, of anything, I enjoy the thought process of getting to learn from what they say. You know, when I watch the guys today, you know, I hope none of those guys are ever compared to me. I hope the next guy who's left-handed is compared to me. I hope Kimbrel, you know, I feel like he's going to be better. I think he has, you know, better stuff, and he has a better mind for the game. And I think that, to me, is important, that not the comparisons. I was able to do what I did, and I, whether people thought it was good or they didn't, somebody kept running me out there. And I think the biggest compliment that I ever had was for one of the greatest managers I've ever played for, and that's Bobby Cox, to come to my house and say, hey, I want you to come play after the guy he had the year before had 40-some saves.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, my reward, my compliments for myself may not come in the Hall of Fame, but a guy like Bobby Cox or Charlie Manuel or guys like that to tell me that they enjoyed me or, you know, I mean, those are things that you know, I feel are important. I know that the guys that I competed against, they felt the same way.
Wow. Now, you know, you started out with the Houston Astros, and what was your reaction when you saw the Astros win the World Series?
You know, I was happy for them. I mean, they're a great organization. I think Jim Crane, they've changed that culture down there, and you know, the expectations of winning, and I think it's just a tremendous opportunity for these guys. I mean, you know, how can you not like Altuve? I mean, the way he goes about his business, the positive influence he is on everybody. I think that is how he plays the game, exactly how everybody wants to. He's carefree, has fun. I don't think that's the uniqueness that they brought in. That guy who is a you know, underdog, makes the team. But you know, just there's so much to like about their what they do. They have fun, and they've got a great manager. I play with AJ. I mean, mm-hmm. they've got a lot of great things going on for them, and I tell you, I'm happy for them.
Now, you played for the Mets, you played for the Phillies and the Braves. Of all the teams you played for, which team did you enjoy the most?
You know what? I don't know if there was one team. I think I was probably more mature when I played with Boston and Atlanta, but you know, I think each team had that special moment, special people that I was able to meet and enjoy. But you know, I don't know if I would sit there and want to say I like this team more than I like that team, but I did experience a lot of neat things, and you know, I learned a lot of things about how to mature and grow up and stuff along in my time early with Philadelphia and New York. So all those things that I got to do are the things that I get to share with these young men today.
Wow, that's amazing. Billy Wagner, listen, thank you so much for being on the show, and we hope one day you go into the Hall of Fame.
Well, I appreciate you making me feel good. So, thank you.